Hey there, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Radio New Bloom with your host, me, Garrett D. I'll be joined later on the episode, as always, by Brian Hugh, and it's been a while since we've been on the air, mostly due to my recent transplant back to the United States. But I think we've got a pretty interesting interview for you guys ahead today in this episode.
Today we're going to be talking to Dana and James, who are the co-founders of HCT Regenerative, which is an organ and tissue bank located in Juwe.
We really didn't know a lot about the organ and tissue banking industry before we did this interview, and these guys really shed some light on the industry for us. They are actually the first organization of their kind in Taiwan, which is very interesting. And they talked a little bit about the need for expanding and growing this industry in Taiwan, particularly, as everybody knows, a couple of years ago, there was the water park disaster at Baxian Water Park near Danshui. Many people were burned. It was very, very catastrophic. And they talk a little bit about the need for changing people's minds and attitudes on this industry, trying to make it more normalized and more regulated in Taiwan. A little bit about organ banking in other countries as well and some of the obstacles that they face trying to get their business off the ground. We certainly enjoy talking to these guys about what they do, and I hope that you all enjoy. I hope it's informative and that you learn a lot more about the organ and tissue banking industry in Taiwan.
Yeah, all right. So just for the first thing, go ahead and you guys wouldn't mind introducing yourself and telling us a little bit about your organization?
Yeah, my name is James Tai, and I received the doctoral degree from the University of Florida. And then after that, I started working in the States with LifeLink Tissue Bank. And there I met Dana.
So my background, so I'm Dana Shire. My grandfather founded LifeLink Foundation. And the tissue bank was subsequently part of that. My dad was the director of the tissue bank. So when I was in college, I actually started learning Mandarin. I came home one summer, and my dad had told me that they had someone at the tissue bank that spoke Mandarin, so that's how I met James. We were introduced. He was actually my first tutor, and from there, we've known each other for about 7 years now. And this project has been sort of an idea that's circulated for what, 4 or 5 years at least?
Right, about 4 years.
Yeah.
We started this idea because Taiwan doesn't have this industry. So apparently this is a very good opportunity. And then Dana and I have been talking about this for so many years. And finally, I think the trigger is more of the Baxian Taiwan. You guys know about the fire accident.
Mm-hmm.
100 young people got burned injuries, and then the government imported a lot of skin, cadaver skins, and then that's a very good example that how important the tissue product is, and then how the Taiwanese community need this product. That's why we're seriously considering moving to Taiwan.
Our organization, we started operations, opened our offices last year in July, so July of 2016. Was when we officially started. We started off with 4 employees, and a year later now we have 7.
So. Yeah, so that's impressive growth. What was the purpose when you founded your organization? What did you want to do with your operation here in Taiwan?
I think for me, working at LifeLink really inspired me. It's a very good organization based on the charity. So I think my mission is more bringing the tissue banking industry to Taiwan, and I think from that we can promote the tissue and organ donation. So I see this as a mission. I don't think we are the first one company doing this in Taiwan, but I think for me and Dana we are more proud of.
Yeah. So I mean, this is a sort of a long term path to go. So when looking at what Taiwan is now, it's kind of what the United States was 30 years ago. So in the U.S. 30 years ago, a lot of hospitals, they sort of handled tissue banking. It was not very efficient. Doctors and nurses, they have a lot of jobs and ranges. You know, they have to take care of patients. They have all this stuff to do. And so to actually bank tissue and to have quality control of it, it's very difficult. So this sort of move to outside organizations that started to take hold of this in the late 80s and early 90s in the United States. So Taiwan is sort of in that same situation scenario right now. It's a lot like the States was before organizations outside of hospitals handling this directly. So in all of Asia, only South Korea has actual tissue banking. So our vision is sort of come to Taiwan, establish it in Taiwan, and then beyond that, if the model works, take it to other Asian countries that need it as well.
So before you guys came here, you said that there was no operation like yours in effect. It was basically just hospitals and stuff handling this kind of organ and tissue donation. What do you think the reason for that was? Why do you think that it has taken so long to develop this kind of industry?
One of the reasons is the hospitals try to do everything themselves. Probably know a lot of physicians in Taiwan, they like to do basic research. So they don't have the concept of making a product or making a real industry. Sort of like commercialize. They don't have the concept. So, and also, not a lot of Asian people has experience tissue banking in the States. I'm probably the only one, or one of only very few really experienced the tissue banking. That's why things are slow. And we started having the tissue banking regulation in 2009.
Yeah, Taiwan established tissue banking regulations in 2009. I think another reason is I sort of looked, tried to do some research into different Asian countries and tissue banking in those countries. And generally speaking, in a lot of Asian countries, tissue banking was started by a doctor or a hospital, and then when the doctor passed away or retired, tissue banking sort of went with them, and sort of the bank collapsed or whatever. So, as James said, you sort of need an organization to be built directly tied to doing just focusing on tissue banking. So that if someone, a doctor retires or whatnot, the industry doesn't just disappear overnight. So that's our goal, is to bring this industry that's been established and regulated in the United States and in Europe, and bring that to Asia.
So what are the particular governmental and legal challenges that you deal with in Taiwan, and particularly in Taiwan?
I think probably one of the biggest things is education. A lot of people just don't know of tissue banking, they're not aware of it. And then it's also, you have sort of like taboos with it as well. It's a very sensitive industry, so you have to be very transparent with everything you're doing. So education is very important.
Okay, so in regard to that, as you know, one of the biggest high-profile cases with regard to organ and tissues is with regards to an accusation of organ harvesting in China from political prisoners. And, that is a sensitive issue politically, as well as, that also leads to criticism from religious groups. How would you understand the situation there? And, does that affect how, organ tissue banks are perceived in Asia overall, do you think?
Well, with that specifically, I know the vast majority of people are not aware of that. Some of us in obviously the tissue banking industry are aware of that. So, like I said earlier, being transparent is very key to this industry. This industry thrives off the altruism of people donating their tissue and donating their organs to society to help the overall community when they leave. So it's very important that we're transparent with everything we do, and that obviously causes difficulties in China because a lot of what they do is not transparent. So our focus obviously is on Taiwan and establishing this in Taiwan, setting up a good example of tissue banking in Asia.
So what do you see as the future of the industry being like in the next several years or decades?
Yeah, in terms of the tissue banking, there are more and more advanced products. So we generally call it regenerative medicine or regenerative biomaterials. So a lot of stem cells or the growth factors are involved to make these teeth more effective in terms of repairing the tissue. So I think in the future there will be more and more advanced tissue products in the market, and then this is our goal. With the low R&D cost in Taiwan and the labor quality is generally very nice, we hope to be able to develop the advanced products and then somehow maybe
Yeah, I mean specifically the different sort of tissue allografts that are maybe used. There are musculoskeletal allografts, which are bone and soft tissue like tendons, ligaments. So if you say tear your ACL, you could be provided a new ligament to repair you. That's, you know, actual human tissue. And then as James was saying, stem cells and growth factors used mixed with sort of the bone can help the healing process even more. And a newer tissue product that's been used a lot in the United States and has seen rapid growth is amnion from the placenta. So that's actually something we're focusing on here as well, is to acquire placentas after birth. So the baby and the mother are fine. Usually the placenta is discarded as medical waste, but we can actually recover that and then process that into patches that can, they have a wide range of abilities and capabilities. For instance, it's used a lot in eye surgeries, ophthalmology. It's anti-scarring, so that helps in eye surgeries. And it's good for wound management. So, for instance, diabetics, a lot of times will have diabetic foot ulcers, and those are very difficult to heal. So, amnion, with its growth factors, its specialized proteins, can really help patients have better outcomes in healing.
And overall, everything we are doing is the industry has been doing in the States for the past 30 years. We feel the Taiwanese market is going to follow American roadmap.
Yeah.
Everything has happened there, eventually it's going to be the same here. So that's why we feel we are very confident we can make this work.
Yeah, I mean, we've been talking a lot with the Taiwanese FDA. They're the ones that sort of oversee this and regulate it. Obviously, this is very new because we're the first tissue processor in Taiwan. But we've had a very good relationship so far with them, and we try to help connect them to what the United States, usually the Taiwanese FDA follows the U.S. regulations, so sort of just connecting on what the U.S. is doing, and, you know, making sure we can grow this industry properly here in Taiwan.
Since we are the first tissue processor, so they see us, they use a higher standard to holding us, but eventually we use everything happened in the States, the American standards, they really just accept it. So they have been very nice, you know, adopting the international standards. I think that's a good news. But however, I think so far so good, we didn't see anything.
Yeah, I mean, they're obviously being the first, it's difficult sort of getting through certain hurdles. They're not used to certain things, so sometimes it can be confusing, but really what we've been doing is we've been taking it one step at a time. So generally you have to register each type of tissue, so we've been doing it sort of one at a time. So we did amnion first, that way they can just focus all their energies on what we're doing there, and then the next step is to add additional musculoskeletal tissue like bone and soft tissue. That way, you don't just throw everything at once, sort of taking slow step and process. So we just recently received approval by the TFDA to begin placing amnion, so we can start doing that. We plan to do that in the fourth quarter of this year.
So you talked a little bit as well about only South Korea having this kind of industry in place, really set up and mature as far as the East Asian countries go. And then you talked about wanting to expand from Taiwan into other East Asian countries as well. What are you thinking as far as expansion goes? What are your plans for that?
First of all, ideally, basically, a lot of these countries are using the metal. Those are imported from the States. So those are expensive. Everything imported from the States. A lot of patients couldn't afford. So what we are going to do is we establish a model here, and we can use the same model to enter the other Asian countries. Again, the legal or the government issue can be theirs. It depends on each countries. I think Europe has the same issue. So we are very careful. And Dana has done some research. There are few countries, they actually have the regulation already.
Correct, yeah. Japan is an interesting country because they have no tissue banking industry whatsoever. It's really a huge taboo. So you have two barriers there. No one donates tissue in Japan, and they don't really want to accept tissue from people that are non-Japanese. So those are two sort of barriers that you have to get over. But I know from certain discussions that Japanese doctors and surgeons and people in the healthcare industry in Japan are very worried that if they have some sort of tragedy, some sort of accident that happens, like happened in Taiwan back in 2015, where you had all those burn patients and victims, Japan is not, their healthcare system isn't ready for that. They don't have tissue, whether it be skin or bone or whatnot, that will help alleviate the accident. So they're very worried about that, and there's talks about trying to set up sort of an Asia-Pacific association between South Korea, Taiwan, and Japan, to where it's more easily accessible to get tissue from those countries.
Okay, yeah, so you guys would want to be a part of that as well, then, I'm assuming, yeah.
Yeah, as Dana mentioned, I think to enter the other countries, it's very important you have you share similar standards. That way, whatever you produce in Taiwan or in different countries, you can enter different countries. With the American standard, very high standard, and generally most of the Asian countries accept those. That's our direction, trying to use American standards.
So that seems to wrap it up. But are there any final thoughts or comments you would say to listeners?
Yeah, I would just say, as far as education goes, this is obviously a very sensitive industry, but what it can bring to society, to the community that it's involved in, is rather large. One tissue donor, so one organ donor can usually save around 8 lives, is what one organ donor can do, and one tissue donor usually improves more than 50 people's lives. So just one person really does have a large impact on the community when they donate their tissue. Their ligaments go to different people, their bone go to different people, and it really has a large impact. So our mission here is obviously education is a big thing, but we really want to bring this to Asia and be transparent with what we're doing. And so at the moment, we're working with hospitals and different doctors and surgeons to help with research as well. Our ultimate goal is to bring tissue processing and tissue donation to get that up here in Taiwan.
Yeah. Our experience and our goal is once we establish the party system, and we will start to approach different hospitals. One good example is we recently met a director of orthopedic department in a major hospital, and then he started thinking about outsource the processing of the tissue in his tissue bank to us, because to them, they don't have the technology, they don't have the know-how to process or even use it. He told us there's a donor donated a bone, and they only use it once and then have to discard it. And to us, that's very, you know, waste.
Yeah, it's not very efficient. So again, when you have sort of the industry coming here, you can do much more with the donation rather than with some of these hospitals. This director told us, I mean, they have to turn down donations because they can't do it, and they don't have the time or the resources to actually do it, so they actually have to turn down donations. And then the donations that they actually do get, they're not very efficient with it, so they use a piece of the tissue, and then the rest of it is discarded, like James was saying. So it's very inefficient, and it doesn't make do with really the gift that the person gave of giving their tissue when they passed away.
Yeah, it sounds like some really important work that you guys do, and I wish you the best in the future. It definitely sounds like it's needed here in Taiwan, for sure.
All right, so once again, that was Dana and James, and we were happy to have them on the show. Thank you for your insightful input on the organ tissue banking industry in Taiwan. So once again, I'm your host, Garrett D, and we'll see you again next time.
Cambio.